Good morning. Welcome to the Forgotten Word. This is Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries. And, pleased to be with you again today. Glad to have you with us. And today we want to talk a little bit about slain in the spirit. And, we want to discuss, whether this is a scriptural entity or is this something that just people, man, has made up. Just what is slain in the spirit? And, what's it all about? So here's what I want to share with you today. I've wrote a couple articles on this topic, and I've read a couple articles, one especially by Mike Oppenheimer of Let Us Reason Ministries. And Mike, I'm going to read and comment a little bit on an article that he wrote, and then on some other things I wrote and some other stuff, and try to give you, a pretty good picture of what slain in the spirit's all about. What was it about then? What's it about now? Charismatics are the ones who are proponents of slain in the spirit. They say that when the spirit comes upon you, it'll overcome you with power and slaying you, and that's what they call it. They call it being slain in the spirit, not in the essence that you're dead. As we all know, in the New Testament, there people, fell dead, slain by the Lord, the Holy Spirit. But this is a different kind of slain. It's like just being, you fall over and you either lay prostrate on your back or you fall on your side or you're sometimes forward, but almost all the time backwards. And sometimes you'll just lay there. Sometimes you'll squirm around. Sometimes you'll just flop like a fish out of water. Sometimes you'll just shake and just shimmy like your body's being electrocuted or something. Sometimes you scream and yell. Sometimes you jump up and you start running all over the church or wherever you're at and uncontrollably. Just all kinds of, I've seen people bark. I've seen people howl like coyotes. I've seen them laugh until they can't laugh no more, hardly. I've seen them scream. I've seen them, like the old term Banshee Indian, I don't know where that come from, but I've just heard all kinds of craziness come out of what they call slain in the spirit. And being a member of the Assembly of God for a number of years, I can attest to a lot of that. And not a member of the Assembly of God now, by the way, for those that don't know, but I was for a number of years. And but anyway, that's what they claim. Well, today this has become a common denominator of the Spirit's presence with power, and it's sought after as proof of receiving the anointing from God. And that's what these people proclaim now, all these the charismatics and Pentecostals. People such as Benny Hinn, Rod Parsley, Richard Roberts, and a host of others, they've developed it to be a trademark of their meetings and their gatherings. It's now, don't misunderstand. We're not trying to discount that the Holy Spirit can do an unusual thing. Not at all. However, before we, as Mike put it, put the stamp of approval on a practice that they're claiming to be is a normal thing, instead of an unusual thing, we need to see if it's promoted, in the scriptures as such. And what do you find when you look in the scriptures? That's a question you always have to ask of anything and everything that you're studying. What do you find in the scripture about this particular item, this particular belief or thing or whatever it is you're studying? And so you have to, go to the scripture itself and see. I agree with Mike that we do not see any of this type of thing practiced or even hinted in about in the scripture, that in the way that the people do it today. When the Spirit came upon Jesus at his baptism, he came up out of the water. He didn't collapse and fall down on his back prostrate and lay like he was dead. The Lord Jesus, he had power to heal everybody, even the worst cases, diseases, blindness, crippled people, limbs, even, to raise the dead. But nowhere in the scripture, when we read the Bible, nowhere in the scripture does it say that Jesus healed anyone and that they fell on their back or they you know, and like they were dead and couldn't move, and or that they, you know, start screaming and howling and barking or shaking like a limb in a snow, in a windstorm, a leap in a windstorm, and couldn't stop it. None of that kind of stuff happened. You know, none of them fell over slain in the spirit. You know, we don't find Peter or John touching people and causing them to fall over. You know, and that's what the people today do, is they will touch someone and they'll fall over, slain in the spirit. Benny Hinn, all he's got to do is wave his hand or wave a coat at you, and you and 50 people around you all fall over, slain in the spirit. I've seen it. It's on video. Anybody can watch it. For those of you that can't find it, you know, email me, let me know. And, you know, I'll put a link to, a video of some of that for you. And you can see that it's just craziness, you know, it's nuts. You know, no one was standing behind. Today, they have people that stand behind folks that come up to the stage or the altar, whatever they want to call it, to be, you know, anointed by Benny Hinn or Rod or Richard or whoever's doing it, and by one of these preachers, proponents of the slain in the spirit, and they have people that they have working for them to stand behind these people to catch them when they fall so they don't get hurt. Now, it's always been my contention, always has and always will be, if the Holy Ghost is going to do anything like that, to where the Holy Ghost would touch someone to have them fall over backwards and land on the ground or on the wood, concrete or the wood or anything else, if the Holy Ghost is actually doing it, the Holy Spirit of God is actually the one doing it, they certainly aren't going to get hurt. The Holy Spirit is not going to hurt someone to show his power. That's not what he does. So what's with these people that don't understand? Well, I can tell you what it is. Some of these preachers have admitted that some of these folks get caught up in the act of it, and so they, you know, they get a little overboard. Well, then it's evidently not real, huh? You know, nuts. Just, you know, some of these people are crazy. You know, as Mike was saying in one of his articles one time, he said, "Can you imagine and picture in your mind the apostles running up to people and slapping them on the forehead or lining people up to be slain in the spirit? No soft music or repetitive courses, you know, were sung to set an atmosphere for the anointing to fall. No one yelled repetitive phrases like fire or touch me or more Lord, you know, that like they do now. So where'd all this come from? You know, this, where did all this come from? More Lord, more Lord, more Lord. I see there's a church in Illinois, in Springfield, Illinois. It's a Pentecostal church. It used to be First Assembly of God. Now it's called I Worship, Little I Worship. And, that's their big thing, is more Lord, more Lord. They want more of the Lord. You know, what more do you want, folks? You got it all now. See, that's where the deception comes in. Satan convinces a lot of people there's more to be had. God gave you his word, and we can read it every day, the written word of God. He gave his son to sacrifice for us. What more can you get from him until, like he said, and we refuse to listen, your reward, what's got coming now, is to be in heaven. When you get to heaven, he has a reward for you. That's your reward. But they all want more now. They don't want it later. They want it now. So they all cry out, more Lord, more Lord, more Lord. And amazing. But anyway, you know, those people who advocate this type of a practice, you know, they really need to consider what they're really attributing to the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. There's no biblical precedent for being slain in the Spirit like we see practiced today in these churches. None, nada. So what's happening? That's a question we all have to ask ourselves. What is happening? Jesus is a baptizer. He anoints with the Holy Spirit. With the power really comes only from Christ. Just what are people receiving through this experience? I don't know for sure. I guess they don't know either. I don't believe. Do these displays of power become the convincing proof of God's presence? Well, you know, John 10:41 and 2:42 records Then many came to him and said, John performed no sign, but all the things that John spoke about this man were true, and many believed in him there. John convinced the people without a display of miracles. It was the truth that converted them and made them into followers. It's by knowing the truth, the word, that people, you know, that keeps people following faithfully, not displays of power. We don't need to be slain in the spirit or cut by the spirit. The word, you know, that's what we need, the word. You know, read that in John 6:63 and Hebrews 4:12. One way is by expositionally preaching. The other is offering by experience. One comes by the word that is objective, that teaches and convicts through the Holy Spirit. The other is subjective, by a person touching you or imparting a power. The word is biblical, the other's not. So see, in the Old Testament now, there was a lot of just examples of saints who fell to the ground. In Genesis, let's see, back in 15, what was that reference? Genesis 15, 12 through 18. You know, there was a lot of reference about Abraham. When Abraham was put to sleep, horror and great darkness fell upon him. But it was not pleasant. This was a special event signifying God's covenant with Abraham, as God told about his offspring's future. Now, see, that's different than what they're claiming today. They come up to get slain in the spirit for anything. Just to get slain in the spirit. That's all. No other reason. Just to do it. Because they think it's an extra biblical experience that they need. They act in, with Abraham. That was all about, and it was not repeated for any of his descendants. Notice the passage indicates that the experience was not enjoyable. So they certainly wouldn't have went back for more like they do now. There's some of these guys go to these churches and they go up to be slain in the spirit every time the church doors are open. It's amazing. Abraham falls on his face in Genesis 17:3. Abraham falls on his face, but this does not describe an involuntary act of being slain in the spirit, as some claim to do. Abraham fell face forward toward the ground on his own accord in reverence to God in an act of fully conscious worship. And that's the difference than what these guys are doing in today's realm. They're not, it's not a fully conscious worship, an experience of awesomeness. It's just an experience of, it's almost like going for a ride on a merry-go-round. You go for a ride because you enjoyed the ride, you know, so. You go get slain in the spirit because you enjoy the feeling of it all. Well, you know, that's just not biblical. Now, many people in the Bible fell backwards. In Scripture, it tells us a lot of them that they fell backwards. But it was not a blessing when this happened. That's the thing that they don't understand, a lot of these people. In 1 Samuel 4:18, Eli fell off his seat backwards on hearing of the death of his sons and the capture of the ark, and he died. Isaiah 28:13, the prophet speaks of God's word sent to refresh, but if not heard, it became a judgment, that they may go and stumble backward and all be broken. In all these examples, it's a judgment, not a blessing. In 1 Samuel 28:20, we read of Saul immediately collapsing full length on the ground upon hearing of his impending death from Samuel after Saul had consulted the witch of Endor. So none of these had to do with a blessing and a fun thing happening. So, you know, you've got to weigh this out and see what's being talked about, what's actually happening. In today's churches, they claim that they can put their hand on your forehead or touch you on the chest and push you over and you'll become slain in the spirit. Well, that's not biblical. There's no biblical, references for it. So let's continue this tomorrow. There's a whole lot to cover, so we'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless you. See you then.
We pray these programs have been a blessing to you and they've taught you something. We feel that, we're trying hard to do what the Lord has led us to do, and we pray that and hope and pray that it has been accomplished in these programs. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, or would like to, comment on the programs or send any donations to the ministry, please write us at Forgotten Word Ministries, P.O. Box 315, Camp Point, Illinois, 62320. That's Camp Point, CAMPPOINT, two different words, Illinois, 62320. God bless you.